Well, good morning, beloved. I am thankful for your attendance. I'm thankful for once again yet another opportunity to stand before you to preach another small portion of God's Word. This morning in Bible class, we find ourselves in 2 Peter. And now that we have passed a certain section, I wanted to dive more deeply into it. Though the Bible classes that we have each Sunday morning and this sermon, we cannot exhaust the richness that is found within any scripture. But especially this morning, I want us to begin looking at the Christian graces and the importance of us growing and maturing. You know, we saw in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have been given all things that pertain to life and to godliness. In verse 4, it tells us that we can honestly partake of some portion of His divine nature, that we can become almost like God in a positive way. Let me rephrase that. We can become like God in a positive way. We can have His same mind, His same outlook. We can be governed not by strictly emotions, but we can be governed by reason and truth. That is how we need to aspire to be like God. Something to take note is the emphatic thesis of the word of these graces. Again, we can only partake of these graces because they stem from a life that is both ruled and governed by the power and nature of God. In a recent sermon that I had on spiritual growth, we looked at how we must grow with care. Verses 5 through 9, kind of encompassing all of these Christian graces together. And now this morning, I want us to dive deeper into them, to gain a better appreciation for what they mean and what they are. So this morning, I want us to look at the Christian graces, and I want us to begin with diligence. Because as we pointed out in our spiritual growth that we had about a month ago, we saw that this is not a stair-step approach. We cannot focus on one aspect completely while ignoring all the others. All of these have to be combined together to the very best of our ability, and we need to be growing gradually. But there needs to be that growth. And so this morning, I want us to focus on diligence. Because we find it here in 2 Peter, verse 5 of chapter 1, and it says, "But also for this very reason, because we have escaped the corruption of the world, because we know we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, because we know that we can become partakers of His divine nature, since we know all that. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence." What is this diligence? Again, we covered it just lightly in the Bible class, lightly last time, and I hope to continue to paint this picture of what diligence is. The first thing I want us to point out is that diligence is not easy. It does not just happen. You don't just fall into a diligent kind of behavior. You know, we understand that this nature and ability, it comes from God. And we don't need to be squandering the opportunity. We don't need to be squandering the opportunities and the examples that are found for us within Scripture. This word diligent, like we covered in Bible class, it means striving with an earnest desire for application. You know, Vines says a earnest zeal with a purposeful, determined mindset. And so by using this word, Peter affirms that the Christian life, the Christians of the first century, the Christians today, need to be active. Diligent living is purposeful living. It is not going with the flow. It is not going with the mundane, oh, I'm waking up, I'm doing the things I have to do. See, that's what got the Jews in trouble. They just got into the routine of things, checking off their boxes, and they weren't diligent. And we can be guilty of the same thing if we do not take care. You know, this physical universe did not just happen by mistake. This building, by the same laws of reason and logic, did not just appear one day. It took time. It took resources. It took working together for those who planned it, those who funded it, those who built it, to bring it together. That was diligent labor. And so as we continue thinking about our life as Christians, the Christian personality, who we are, who we desire to be, can never be formed accidentally. You don't just wake up one day and go, oh, I'm a Christian. You don't just keep working and working and working and go, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, no one drifts into a life of holiness. You don't just live your life in darkness and one day, with no control, no decisions made, find yourself in a life of holiness. It can only come from the result of a committed life. As stated earlier, our goal is to be like God in a positive way, to take on His characteristics to the very best of our ability. You know, one can allow himself to drift into a ruined life, but again, we don't drift into a holy life. I want us to consider what John 14 and verse 6 says. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me or comes to the Father except through me. A very defined passage, a very narrow passage, Matthew 7 and verse 13. So we don't accidentally drift to meet the Father. We don't accidentally get to speak to the Father. It has to be through the appropriate channels. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15, look what Paul writes. He says, be diligent to what? Be diligent to present yourself approved. Again, this is no easy task. This takes time. This takes patience. It takes experience, learning and growing, making mistakes, but growing from that. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Again, another word that does not paint a picture of someone just meandering through life, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, King James, rightly handling the Word of God. Again, that is diligent. Just like this building, just like this universe was not just slopped together. There was diligence behind it. There was purposeful action to continue in it, to begin the work project and see it through its completion. That is what we need to do. We can't begin strong and think that that initial momentum will just keep us going to the very end. We have to be thoughtful. You know, those who have been on God's side throughout time were never seen as drifters. They were never on the outskirts of God's people. We actually have an instance in Exodus of those that were on the outskirts. They were some of the very first ones to be consumed. But their lives were purposeful. They had diligent lives. And just think of those in faith in Hebrews 11. All these died in faith. Many of them stood up. Many of them had faith in life and death situations. It was not easy for them. What makes you think that being a Christian today should be any different? The Apostle Paul was one such person. His life was purposeful. His life was diligent. And he did not have an easy life. He writes this in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press. Do you hear the effort that is found within these words? I'm pressing against all odds, against the world, against myself. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward, not the horizontal, not the downward, but the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Secondly, this morning, I want us to look at that a lack of personal diligence is dangerous. It's important to see that it is your responsibility. Your growth is your responsibility. My growth is my responsibility. Do we help aid each other? Yes. Is that the purpose of the preacher? Is that the purpose of the more mature Christians within the congregation to help guide and nurture? Absolutely. But look what Peter says to them. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And we'll continue there next week about faith. But the diligent behavior is for each and every one of us to see that we need to continue to grow, to see that it is our own responsibility, no one else's. Perhaps the greatest threat to spiritual welfare is not necessarily a frontal attack. Do people attack God head on? Absolutely. Do people just give up on God one day? It happens. But many Christians are going to find themselves in a dire situation, not because they attacked God on a frontal approach, but they stabbed him in the back through negligence. They believe that, oh, it's just a small blip on the radar. It's just one small wrinkle. God will overlook it. God will not judge me because of this small little blip in my life. Now, God will forgive you if you repent of it, if you correct it. But this whole mindset that it's a small blip is dangerous. We see this in Luke 13 and verse 3. Those who were trying to comfort themselves, pointing to others who they saw as more sinful, Jesus says the same thing. They were given a chance. You're being given a chance. Unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Again, the responsibility is on the individual. But we usually succumb to the flesh and we become careless, negligent. But God's word does not allow us be negligent. And it is important from either the Bible class, from the pulpit, from the classrooms, from the songs that we sing, from the prayers that are uttered, that we do not grow negligent in reminding people to stay faithful, to stay diligent. Kind of jumping ahead in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you. He says it twice. We covered that this morning in Bible class. Peter understood the importance of being diligent. You know, the only way to avoid the danger of negligence is to give heed. And again, Bill Pinckney brought up the beauty of that word, heeding. Both hearing and then doing according to what you heard. Not according to your opinion, not according to what society tells you, but according to what saith the Scripture. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, we have the parable of the talents. It's a beautiful parable. And it's a parable that shows us, no matter what your talents are, and again, the word talent there is in reference to money, but in reference to your service, will some of us be more fruitful? Yes. But God does not judge you based upon that. God judges you based upon, are you fruitful? And how diligent you are in your pursuits to provide that fruit. The one talent man, he did multiple things wrong. He was not diligent in his labor. He was not diligent in his mindset toward his own master. He had a wrong impression of his master. Go back and read that. And focus on the improper view that he had of his master. And if you find anything interesting, please come and talk to me about it. But I challenge you to go back and read that. You know, we might be so eager to help those that are around us. We read scriptures like, those who are spiritual, restore such a one who is carried off in sin. And we want to be that kind of person. And we want to be that kind of person that others will turn to lean upon. We want to bear one another's burdens, as Galatians 6 tells us. We want to do good to all, but especially the household of God. But if we don't take care of ourselves, how can we take care of anyone else? If we don't bear our own burdens, how can we bear others? You know, Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, dealing with rebuking. Jesus does not say anything wrong about rebuking a brother or sister in Christ. But we better make sure that we're taking care of ourselves first. We better make sure that we are growing, that we take care of our side of the street so that we can more clearly see the speck in our brother's eye. So that we can more clearly help him. Because that is our desire. That should be our purpose, is to help one another. And we must desire, starting today, and I hope that this is not the first time that you're saying this, but starting today, as the new year is quickly approaching, we need to say to ourselves that I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. That's diligent growth. That's purposeful growth. And there's a danger in maintaining the status quo of not growing, of not maturing. We need to live like Christ. You know, Romans 12, verses 9 through 11, it talks about living like Christ, living like a Christian. And in verse 9, it says, let us love without hypocrisy, and let us cling to what is good. In verse 10, it says, let us love and give preference to one another. And look what he says. Look what Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The King James here says business, but it's the same word in the Greek, diligence and business. I like what the King James says, do not be slothful in business. You know, sometimes we can be slothful in our diligence, in our Christian walk. The Bible has plenty to say about those who were slothful in the Old Testament. But if we heed, And we see the word, but also in this very reason, giving not some diligence, not most diligence, but giving all diligence. It's important. But if we don't take heed, what happens is we damage ourselves. We damage our own spirituality. And we keep ourselves from growing. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. Paul wishes he could speak to them as spiritual, but he had to return to speaking to them as carnal-minded people. And when we are not growing, we begin to affect those that are around us. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. And that's dangerous. And I believe that we will be held liable to some degree if we cause those that are around us to stumble, to lose faith, to lose focus. But remaining diligent keeps us from drifting. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just reward, focus on this last part. How shall we escape? Painting idea of a punishment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? All things that pertain to life and to godliness, this leads to salvation. If we neglect it, how are we possibly going to escape? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. How are we going to possibly escape if we're not diligent? The third thing that I want us to look at this morning is that diligence causes us to look beyond this life. It causes us to have a point on the horizon that we are pressing forward, that we are moving toward. I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, and look what Paul says. Now with this idea in our mind about looking forward, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't be like Lot's wife. We had a sermon on that. But reaching forward, that idea of reaching forward, going, it is obtainable. It's not something, it's not a dream, it's not just a vain hope, but reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Hank had a great devotional on what is our life? It's a vapor, as James calls it and describes it. And we must be aware that in this life and through the knowledge that we are given, we understand that this life is temporary. And that these physical shells, these tents, contain an immortal soul that will spend an eternity somewhere. But we get to pick. It is a life that looks beyond the struggles and trials. Consider what James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. How we are supposed to look at these struggles and trials as a blessing, knowing that it's going to produce something. Because we're constantly looking ahead. We're not looking down at the feet. We're not looking down at the mud puddle that we happen to find ourselves in. We're trudging forward, knowing that the better is on the horizon. The better is if we just keep on going. But there in James chapter 1, I want us to focus on verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. This is a man who is negligent. This is a man who is not keeping up. This is a man who is looking behind. And so he doesn't have that prospect of looking forward. Now, we understand that there is something better, but it takes work to get at. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, it speaks about someone who lacks these things. And it describes them as short-sighted, even to blindness. King James says, just short-sighted. You know, we forget what is up ahead. We forget what lies beyond. And we want to be comforted. This life can get dark at times. And we can lose our hope. We can lose our focus. And our diligence, it should be wearing us down. You should get tired. Because it's not easy. And sometimes with the stresses of this world, we just don't have enough energy to muster up in our opinions. But we need to believe in certain things. We need to remind ourselves, remind each other of what lies ahead. That's what John does here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. It says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What comfort. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Again, that idea of looking forward and being diligent. Understanding that Christ is our perfect example of diligence. You know, even as a child in Luke 2 and verse 49, we see him busy about doing his father's work. As a child, his perfect submission to the will of God lasted the entirety of his earthly life. In John 4 and verse 34, he describes doing God's will as his bread. It is what keeps me going. It is what nourishes my soul. Because Jesus has the end game in sight. He understands what lies ahead. And he is not willing to step down. He is not willing to take a break. He is not willing to lose what is within reach. And we can't either. We can't lose focus. We can't lose sight of what lies ahead. The same chapter there in Hebrews chapter 11, it describes those of faith as pilgrims, sojourners, who desired a better country, a heavenly country. And it was just up around the horizon. It's clearly evident that Christ was diligent to all those things that were set before him. He went to the cross, despising the shame. He did all that God commanded of him, no matter how easy or how difficult it was. He did not falter in his endeavors, and we need to do likewise. We need to have the mindset that I'm not going to mess up. We need to have the mindset that failure is not an option. Will we stumble? Yes. But don't let that be the driving force. I'm going to do it even though I know I'm going to fail. Why are you going to shortcut? Why are you going to cheat yourself? Truly believe and strive with the intentions that I'm going to make it. And I'm not going to succumb to any temptations in this world because my eyes are focused ahead. And when you do stumble, repent. Pray to God. Make things right. But there's no sense in seeing the pathway of life, the road of life, and going, oh, there's a stumble, there's a stumble, there's a stumble. When I get to it, I'll just stumble and it's okay. We need to remove as many stumbling blocks from our life as possible. And then we need to trudge forward. To lack such diligence is to reject Jesus and his example. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." Now, as we begin this series of studies, one thing I forgot to mention there in the introduction was it's good for us to know kind of what's coming up next. It's good for the teacher, so I can wrap my mind around what's coming next, but it's also good for the students. It's good for the congregation, so that you can dive deeper into these lessons, so that you can do your research, and that you can help use just this lesson as just a supplement to your own individual studies. Because really, that's all this is. It's just to help supplement your diet of daily ingestion of the Word of God. But I want us to see that diligence is proven. We see this in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 22. And we want to see growth in our areas. Now, Paul wanted Timothy not to lose sight, not to falter, to lack the neglected diligence to succeed. And so he says this to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, Timothy, us, we're going to need a support network. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't face this world by ourselves, and we can't spread the gospel by ourselves. "So commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must do what? You therefore must endure the hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." Again, if you're stepping in a mud puddle, don't look down at it. Trudge ahead. Keep that focus. Don't be concerned with what is happening in this life if it overshadows and overtakes your spiritual life. Your spiritual life must come first. It is a priority. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a good soldier," or as a soldier. We must not be short-sighted, as 2 Peter 1 verses 9 tells us. We must not be so consumed with the here and the now, but we need to be focused on that heavenly promise, that heavenly home that everyone is capable of achieving. John chapter 1 tells us that he's the light to all men, not just some, not just a select few. "And to all those who received him, to them he gave the right to" what? "Become children of God." To them that received him. But to be a child of God does not just happen by accident. You don't remain a child of God by accident. You need to be diligent in your walk with him. Walk in the light as he's in the light. We cannot be friends with this world, for friendship with the world is enmity with God. So if something has been said this morning and you are here in the audience or you're online, and something has sparked your interest, please reach out and let us know. Maybe you're here this morning and you are ready to put on Christ in baptism. The waters are ready. Can't guarantee that they're too warm, but they're ready. You've heard just a small portion of God's word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing, not the person who occupies that, by hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. It is something that sanctifies us, John 17 and 17. It sets us apart. It makes us holy. And so the word of God cannot be overlooked. And why would we be negligent in our study? We need to believe the gospel. We need to believe who Jesus is. We need to repent, turning away from our way of life, committing ourselves to Jesus, committing ourselves to the way of the Father, the will of the Father. We need to confess with our open mouth that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He accomplished all things that are said within this, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Then we need to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. Those on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? Peter tells them, repent ye therefore and be baptized. Romans chapter 6 tells us that if we are buried with Him through baptism, we will rise in likeness, being able to walk in newness of life. And we will be able to share in His resurrection. Again, partaking of His divine nature. Then we need to remain faithful. Be diligent. Be diligent to the very end. Be ye faithful unto death, even if it causes your death. Don't fear them that can only destroy the body, but rather fear ye them, or Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Have a reverential fear. Have a love for God, but be faithful unto death. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're not diligent. Maybe you're slipping and sliding in and out. Maybe you've just given up. We can help you with that. We will pray for you, with you. There's no judgment here. We're the family of God. If anyone has any need, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing.
Have thine affection been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with